program you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Boy, what is it with all this traffic? Oh, Cobb County's starting to look like Branson, Missouri. Yeah, it's got a church on every damn corner. When did that happen? I hadn't noticed that. Oh, great. And another Christian bookstore. What are they hawking? Yeah, Jesus t-shirts, holy water, lava lamps, and true cross toothpicks. Oh, Jesus. Oh, great, I'm behind another damn fish person. Oh, I'm sure I'm getting hungry. Oh, there must be some fast food franchise around here that's sprung up overnight that I haven't tried yet. Hey, what's that big animatronic sign up ahead? Why, it looks like it's a waving Jesus in a chef's hat. And on the in-stroke, he's peeking through the hole in his hand.
The Bible Belt's newest family dining experience. It's J.C. Messiah's Food and Holy Spirit.
What?
Right now, sizzling on our Golgotha grill, we got J.C.'s famous crucifix. That's right, a whole split fryer gigged on its own iron cross and grilled to order. Try it with some of our crucifries and a little of our special This Is My Blood You Drink ketchup. Or reap the rich bounty with our fish sandwich deal. Buy one, get 100 free. Hey, we gotta move all these loaves and fishes somehow. Oh, and don't forget our trademark water into wine coolers. Oh, and sorry, folks, we still can't keep the holes in the salt shakers from healing over, but we're working
what
on it.
What the hell?
So drop on in and check out J.C. Messiah's Food and Holy Spirit. We guarantee you'll like it so much that you'll experience a second coming.
Oh.
And a third. And a fourth.
Just what the H-E double hockey sticks is going on here?
Well, nobody knows just how to answer that question, Susan.
You are about to hear a message that, if you will apply it, will change your life. These are not just idle words.
Those are the words of the ruler.
This is the living word of God that's been proven daily in the life of Jim Baker.
You remember that Bible character? Oh, what was his name?
It wouldn't be Jesus.
that guy right there.
Many times, those who are set aside to the ministry, people feel that they are the only ones that are really supposed to live a separated and dedicated life. Everything you demand from the pulpit, you ought to be living yourself.
There's too many people today, and they're going around. Oh, yes, they are. They're going around. They got the name on every church book in the world, and that's good. They got the name on a lot of rows, and that's good. But I want you to know what? They don't have their name with Jesus written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The reason why is because they think if they join a church, they got it made, or some kind of faith has got it made. But my Bible tells me there's only one faith. Oh, yes, they are.
It's one thing to hear the word, but it's another thing to do. And many people think of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and Jesus said for him to give up all that he had and follow him. And you know what? I believe to this hour, people believe that if that rich young ruler would have given up everything, he would have had to live in poverty, and there's still people preaching poverty, and I don't see it at all that way. Trust, delight, and commit. You know, when I start doubting and having fear, and I have it about every day, and I have to look again, I mean, you know, when your budgets get to be about $1 million plus every month, you're not used to walking in that realm. I used to think $100 was a fine love offering, and you know, then you get up to $1 million plus, and you're not used to those realms, so you have to depend upon the strength that's supernatural.
Oh, Christ.
Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
We're talking about delighting thyself in the Lord now. Webster says an extreme degree of pleasure. An extreme degree of pleasure. That says, whoopee, I love Jesus. Now you tell this is a Baptist crowd, they're quiet. It's all right. It's all right. Just keep smiling at me. You know, I love serving God. I enjoy serving the Lord. I enjoy PTL. I enjoy working for the Lord. I enjoy everything I do. I have the Bible or on my cassette, or I have somebody singing on my cartridge player in the car. I have church on my way to the studios every day. I enjoy riding down the highway with the Word of God in my ears or somebody singing the gospel.
Isn't it grand to be a Christian? Isn't it grand? Isn't it grand to be a Christian?
With all you young kids. I've seen it all over the place. You get all strung out, and you tune out, and it's a real bummer. And like, I was once the same way myself. But just look at me now.
But I don't
need... Now listen, don't tell me you don't need Jesus. Because you know what happens if people don't believe in him, huh?
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 Well?
Well?
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah?
People who don't believe in Jesus can't go to heaven. Now do you believe in Jesus?
All right, already, I believe.
Believing isn't enough. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
What's this book you've got here?
Oh, the Bible.
Bible.
Yeah, man, the Bible.
Why do you carry it with you?
Well, it's really good for hitting people over the head with.
Please.
Like, we used to use the little paperback ones we got for free, but they didn't make it. Not heavy enough.
Watch out, world. Something big is coming your way. They're alive. They're bold. They're friendly. They're the crazy Christians. Walking down your street, sharing with your neighbors, sharing with your children, and yes, even sharing with you. Last Supper Pictures presents the crazy Christians. There's nothing else like it. They carry a Bible in their hand and a smile on their face. They touch people's lives wherever they go. Many may laugh in mockery, but soon you'll be laughing with joy as you meet up with the crazy Christians. You'll see scenes like this.
Yeah, I'm the sheriff, Miss Townsend. Some crazy Christians came through. My jails is empty. Well, I haven't had a thing to do for weeks now. Of course, Clem, he's a fellow who owns a liquor store. He's going to teach me how to crochet later this afternoon. But since those crazy Christians come through here, things just ain't the same.
Yes, where crazy Christians go, joy and love follow. Watch out. They're everywhere spreading the good news.
Hi. How you doing?
Great. Did you know that Jesus died on the cross for you?
You're kidding.
Nope.
For me? What, Weezer?
Yes, soon even you will be saying things like, praise the Lord, in Jesus' name, and it's all going to burn. No more will you be filled with fear, frustration, and depression when your life is touched by those crazy Christians. The world is ready. Christ is returning. See it and believe it.
Crazy Christians is appearing everywhere.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir!
Are you motivated?
Yes, sir!
All right, then.
Be a good little soldier for Jesus. March along, keeping step with him. Be a kind little soldier for Jesus. In your play all the day, be like him. Be a brave little soldier for Jesus. Never fear what he bids you to do. Put your hand in the hand of Jesus. Be a soldier brave and true.
And I want you to get mad at it. Ready? Come on now.
The distant early warning system. The dew line for pro-family America.
But the Word of God tells us that we as Christians are to be peculiar people. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're odd and weird, Brother Henry.
Oh, don't tell me what's in it. I'll tell you what's in it. That it's blatant perversion of the truth by a man who doesn't know what he's talking about. They didn't tell it like it was. They tell it like they hoped it would be to make a good income.
I enjoy serving the Lord. I enjoy PTL. I enjoy working for the Lord. I enjoy everything I do.
Jesus takes a frown and he turns it upside down. And oops, there comes a smile.
Forgive them. They don't know what they're up to.
Don't tell me what's in it. I'll tell you what's in it.
Hosanna. Hey, Santa. Santa, Santa, ho. Santa, hey. Santa, ho. Santa. Hey, JC, JC. Won't you smile at me? Santa, ho. Santa, hey. Superstar.
Must be some kind of new language. Don't tell me what's in it. I'll tell you what's in it.
Man, listen to this slap fight. I sure don't know much about Jesus, but I have a feeling he didn't go for any of this crap. Nah, what fresh hell is this? Subgenius Suicide Encouragement Hotline. This is Reverend Susie the Floozy. May I help you? Hey, slow down a minute. What? What, you chewed through your ropes and got to the phone, but you don't have long? They'll be back soon. Who the hell is this? Jesus? What, the business manager of the Church of the Subgenius? You don't sound... He's one of your clones. You're the real deal, the original Jesus? As in the Christian church? Oh, yeah? Well, go peddle your hate propaganda somewhere else, you gay-bashing, money-grubbing Republican tight ass. God, the nerve of these idiots. Oh, not again. Listen, don't ever call back here again. Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, you're a nice guy. It's them. They've twisted your words. Uh-huh. Well, who's they? A bunch of greasy fat guys in expensive suits. You got some names here to go with them. Oh, well. Yeah, Robertson. Yeah, and that Jan Crouch woman. Yeah, I know that scum. Oh, you're kidding, Jesus. They're making you say things you never meant? I mean, all that family value stuff and anti-gay crap? Off camera, they had a freaking gun to your head? Wait, Jesus, what's going on? They're in the room with you, aren't they, Jesus? Jesus! Jesus! Damn! Oh, Seekers, we gotta do something about this. An innocent man's words are being misused. And the religious right is going to take over the world if we don't do something to stop them. Oh, man, I never thought my ministry would come to this. But tonight, it looks like I'm going to be doing what I can to fight for their Jesus.
Step away.
made a great unknown, like his father carving wood, he had made good. Table, chairs, and open chest would have suited Jesus best. He'd have caused no body harm, no one alarm.
Now recently there's been a great deal of publicity given to a teenage African musical called Jesus Christ Superstar. The question arises, according to the Word of God, what is this? There's no doubt about that. It is African music from start to finish. And of course any musician knows that as well as he knows his own name. I suppose it's good for the business world and the music world to be able to sell a bunch of records, and it will sell a bunch of records. We may say positively, it will help the economy. Number four, it will acquaint many heathen people in America with four biblical names. There are people in America who don't know about Mary Magdalene and Pontius Pilate, and Judas, and Herod. And they'll become acquainted with these names. They've been borrowed from the Bible for the purposes of opportunist appropriation and used in this play called Jesus Christ Superstar. I suppose some knowledge is better than none at all, and it might be of some benefit that the great heathen populace in pagan America would become acquainted with some biblical characters.
Huh? Religion? Learning? Let's get out of here!
Hey!
This move was predictable.
Indeed. And I have other amazing powers as well.
Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming.
Hello there.
Hello. My name is Jesus. Hello. Come follow me. Hello. My name is Jesus. Lay down your cares, lift up your prayers, and follow me.
All right then. There's nothing in the character of Christ presented in the script I have in front of me that would get me to follow a fella from here down to the garbage can.
Yeah.
They didn't understand Jesus, did they, Daddy? What he wanted to do.
Not at all, Bobby.
Then I won't tend to understand anymore. I don't need to understand. I just need to hold his hand. I don't ever need to ask.
What?
After all, the Bible does say, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. So, I guess you could say my broker is Jesus Christ. And, well, Jesus Christ says...
Yeah.
Well, no. Wait a second. I said, my broker is Jesus Christ. And Jesus says...
Isn't it a shame? Everywhere you go, people are searching for the answers to their problems. And yet, when Jesus talks, no one listens.
Outside, somewhere a man is walking in the dark. Even now you can hear his even measured steps as once long ago another man walked into the night. His steps measured off the path to understanding. Some were lucky enough to walk beside him. They shared his laughter and tears. They marveled at his words, but somehow never fully understood him until it was much too late.
This is the way. I will show you the way.
And they listened. But not being able to follow him fully, they ventured only part way, leaving the rest of the journey for some other beautiful day. Still, the echo of his promise can be heard against the night if you really listen with your heart. Coming out of distant shadowed past, he rides on a silver promise. Behold the great worded wonder of Israel, hope incarnate. He who is answer to a million secret prayers. The prophet warns, repent, O Israel.
He is coming. Are you ready in Babylon, in Persia, in Greece, in Rome, in Carthage, Illinois? Are you quite ready? Here comes the future in a man. All that is or was to be in young bearded wonder worker. Are you ready? He is coming. Do you know him? He is here. Tell us, Jesus, what is your family tree? Who were the founding fathers of your line? I mean, describe your ancestors for us, because we have a right to know what kind of man you are. Did your forefathers ride on the first miracle across the Red Sea? Skeletons in the closet, Jesus? Who were the black sheep? Quite a list you hand us from Adam to David, including so many of the mysterious unpronounceables. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, on and on and on. From all the ancient men is formed a new man, a soft miracle named Jesus.
And some jaded little dopehead of a situation ethics pipsqueak pops up and says, there are many flaws in the character. Men don't think like that. A grown, mature man doesn't think like that. That's the recording of the subconscious stream of thought of a 12-year-old boppy, teener, teeny, bopper, hippie, flopper. Judah says, I am frightened by the crowd, for we are getting much too loud. Well, isn't that sweet? You think a man thinks that way? Why, we know a man didn't write this script, because nobody in this script thinks like a man.
Many of us have a picture of Jesus that we gather from the stained glass windows of a very delicate, effeminate fella. Sometimes we get from pictures in our Bibles. I remember when I was a kid growing up, my mother gave me a Bible, an illustrated Bible, and my early images of Jesus were formed from that Bible. I saw him as the good shepherd, walking along with a little lamb in his arms and a pretty little staff in his hand, walking along with daisies tickling his toes, with even his toenails well manicured, and long, beautiful, golden, auburn hair falling down on his neck, all nicely fixed up as though he had just had a head and shoulders shampoo and finished it off with a Tony. And I almost thought of Jesus in my early days that he was a woman. He seemed so pretty, so nice, so well manicured. His robe so clean and so spotless. And I almost got the impression that truly Jesus, the Son of God, was a woman. Now, I don't have anything against women. My mother was a woman.
Jesus didn't wear no bell-bottom pants. He didn't.
No doubt about that. It is African music from start to finish.
Agreed.
Don't tell me what's in it. I'll tell you what's in it.
Did the Jesus movement move you? Did you buy their plan? Did you memorize lots of Bible verses but never meet the man? Well, I'm always mad when I've been had, but I could have done much worse. Like the gang that keeps a humming about the second coming, cause they probably missed the first. And I know the Pope, he lost all hope. He won't even wait. And the Jehovah's Witness, they question my fitness. They say I misbehave. And the children of God, they think that I'm a fraud. So sure they got it made. And Billy Graham may not know who I am, but I'd rather be used than saved. Well, I met this smiling lady. She asked me if I'd been saved. I said, ma'am, I've been used in Jesus' name, but I sure didn't do it to get paid. She said, oh, but son, will you go to heaven? Or when your life on earth is done? I said, ma'am, you can go for the starry crown. I come along for the fun. And I know the Pope, he lost all hope. He won't even wait. And the Jehovah's Witness, they question my fitness. So sure I misbehave. And the children of God, they think that I'm a fraud. They say they got it made. And Billy Graham may not know who I am, but I'd rather be used than saved. Now, now, I'm not knocking your belief or how you found the way. But I just can't believe you can follow someone and not listen to what he's saying. Jesus said if you seek to save your life, you lose it. And he taught that loud and clear. So if you just want pie in the sky by and by, please don't hang around here. And I know the Pope, he lost all hope. He won't even wait. And the Jehovah's Witness, they question my fitness. They say I misbehave. And the children of God, they think that I'm a fraud. So sure they got it made. And Billy Graham may not know who I am, but I'd rather be used than saved. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be used than saved. Uh-huh. He'd rather be used than, he'd rather be used than, he'd rather be used than saved.
When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I reasoned like a child. And I fought like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways.
This is Stan Z. Burns of KCLH here at the Hollywood Bowl at the Jesus Christ concert, another in a long list of tremendous and spectacularly successful concerts for Jesus Christ. You can hear the crowd behind me. Would you mind talking to me for just a second, sir, over here? Thank you. Do you dig Jesus?
Wow, man, the cat's heavy, man. He's too much. He freaked my mind out, man. I mean, I threw my grass on the grass. I stopped smoking my shoes, man.
Don't worry. We won't hurt you. We only want to have some fun.
I'm sure there are many clerics, ministers, who are tickled to see Jesus singing rock songs, but it should not be interpreted as a contemporary revival. Jesus Christ Superstar says that a new Christ, get it, friend, a new Christ has appeared. A new Christ seeking harmony and peace. And if the opera implies that the religion is not Christianity, but rather the rock culture, I don't think the real Jesus would object. But it...
Don't tell me what's in it. I'll tell you what's in it.
I know you smoke. I know you drink that brew. I just can't abide a sinner like you, you know. God can't either. That's why I know it to be true that Jesus loves me, but he can't stand you.
You call that a superstar? Why, I have more respect for Bronco Nagurski than for a character like that. Why, the title Jesus Christ Superstar is not the name of this opera. The name of this opera should be The Lost Babes in the Woods, or Alice in Wonderland. That's a much more fitting title, or perhaps Judas and the Wizard of Oz. That might be a good title. There's no superstar in the opera Jesus Christ Superstar. If it has a star, it's Judas, and Judas is not a superstar.
Jesus loves me, this I know. And he told me where you're gonna go. There's lots of room for your kind down below. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Jesus loves,
Jesus loves me. He loves me real good. I know he does. He called me up on the phone today and told me how much he loved me. But son, I love you. He speaks English pretty well, considering it's a second language for him. You can talk to him, too. You know, I've got a 900 number in Tulsa you can call him at. I do it all the time.
Yeah, hello. Oh, hey, you again.
Boy, you sure chew through them ropes fast. Hey, listen, Jesus, I'm doing what I can here, but oh, man, it's a tough road. I'm having a hard time separating the good Jesus stuff from the bad Jesus stuff. It just all runs together in a big, ugly mess. Oh, yeah, I'm going to keep on slugging away. Hello? Hello? Jesus! Oh, damn! This is going to be harder than I thought.
Of course, it always makes a story more interesting when a prostitute becomes involved.
Oh, shut up, Jack. You couldn't afford me.
Furthermore, I would like to see the chapter and verse where Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. She had 7 demons cast out of her, but that does not identify her with prostitution. I'm afraid that Superstar needed this harlot image to make its new Christ look like a moral weakling who is often tempted. Jesus Christ Superstar is like the Yellow Submarine. It's pure pagan fantasy.
Cool.
And as such, it may enjoy a certain niche of respect in the idea of pagan people who enjoy fantasy. It may allow a certain release of certain tensions from reality, like people who are too immature and naive to be able to live with reality.
Yeah.
But from the standpoint of the Bible or truth or fact, no sober man could possibly take the work seriously for 15 seconds. It is childish fantasy and should be classed in a bracket with Porky Pig and Charlie Brown.
Watching anxiously, Bobby and Mother and Daddy heard a shout. We've found him! Bring shovels! Soon they saw the child wrapped in blankets being carried into a house.
That was hard, dangerous work. They might have been hurt. They were brave. Jesus was brave like that.
Jesus was a real person who lived in a real place.
I have a picture of Jesus. I'll show it to you when we get home.
You do not immediately recognize Satan the devil. In my brochure, which you can have if you haven't read, about Satan's greatest deception, I make the point that the pictures that are supposedly depicting Jesus Christ are more than likely a picture of Satan the devil. That the greatest deception of all is for Satan the devil to masquerade as if he were Jesus Christ. That his ministers masquerade as ministers of righteousness when they are not anything of the kind.
Well, Bob, what about those con artists? And what about people that are sinners and they don't serve God?
Don't tell me what's in it. I'll tell you what's in it.
Why? Because the devil don't want us to find out the truth. When we find out the truth, there's going to be a bunch of Jesuses running around. The devil wants to keep the church weak, poor, sick, dumb, and broke. Why? So we won't do nothing. So we won't buy any television stations. So we won't buy any newspaper printing companies. So we won't go out there and buy good television equipment. So we won't go out there and buy things so where the message can be propagated and gotten and marketed and propagated.
Jesus is our only king.
Not anymore.
What I can understand is why those men turned against Jesus. He cared about people and helped everybody who needed him.
Those men didn't like what Jesus showed them about God. They thought God cared for them more than for others because they followed the set rule and observed all the religious ceremonies. Jesus told them plainly that they'd missed the main point, that God cares more about how men treat each other than about observing ceremonies.
When Jesus comes, I believe that there are going to be some church members who will kill their pastor.
Right on!
Oh, ha, 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 ha.
And then, one day, nearly 2,000 years after one man had been nailed to a tree for saying how great it would be to be nice to people for a change, a girl, sitting on her own in a small cafe in Rickmansworth, suddenly realized what it was that had been going wrong all this time, and she finally knew how the world could be made a good and happy place. This time, it was right, it would work, and no one have to get nailed to anything.
Although I sure do wish I were nailed to this tightrope I'm on tonight, Seekers. Oh, I know I often get the chance to do shows that a lot of listeners will hate, but oh, it's a distinct pleasure tonight to be doing a show that everybody's gonna hate across the board, each for their own unique reasons. You may ask, why is Reverend Susie the Floozy, the Church of the Subgenius, in bed with the enemy anyway? Hey, you tell me. Oh, but nonetheless, this pagan subgenius heathen broad finds herself pounding the tub for the competition, and happily at that. Hey, go figure. I have to admit that I don't even own a Bible, which is shameful to have to come out and say, as many motel rooms as I've been in. Oh, but with the good intentions and the spiritual serendipity of the village idiot, enough bizarre small press Christian vanity albums, and outfitted with a copy of the fabulous book Ain't Nobody's Business If You Do, which covers the ways in which the religious right has manipulated the words of Christ in particular. Well, I think I'm going to wade in and do battle with the forces of repressive anti-Christ Christianity. Because that's what it is, seekers. It's against everything that the man Jesus Christ stood for. The name of Jesus has been used to justify prejudice, paranoid delusion, and murderous grab for political power. And oh, the effect is widespread. There are over 1,000 belief systems operating in this country alone under the umbrella of Christianity. Well, I find Christianity sick and more than just a little weird, seekers, mainly because of what I see of the Christian church's workings in the world today. Oh, and what a holy roller derby it is, too. Yes, and I've seen the smiling faces of supposedly good, pious, Christian people all twisted up with rage and intolerance, and all of it directed at me. Well, that's bound to make a definite and very memorable impression. And sometimes because of it, I find myself beginning to hate Jesus. Their co-opted Jesus. That precious moments figurine of a man. The Jesus with the big dewy eyes and rubber spine and mealy-mouthed Hallmark cards platitudes. Oh, but luckily, subgenius doctrine teaches us that it's not Jesus we dislike. Oh, no. It's members of his fan club who give us a pain in the ass. And despite their best efforts at making the Jesus mystique a thing of horror and repression, when you rip aside the lies and hypocrisy and self-serving filibustering, you'll find that there's the nugget of an idea within all this crap that shines. And seekers, it shines with all the brightness of pure slack. Because when you look at what exists of the facts, there's a Jesus out there who had enough backbone for all of us. The real, true, fighting Jesus. The man who chased the money changers out of the temple with a jawbone of an ass. Whoops. Some pages got stuck together here. Huh, good thing I missed my jawbone. Oh, but yes. They've done things to Jesus that are ungodly. And their Jesus leaves me cold and nervous. But the true man behind the racket has more going for him than meets the third eye. And from what I've seen of his words, minus the multiple overlays of rabid interpretation and sneaky paraphrasing, I have to grudgingly admit that Christ was one majorly slack guy. And you know, I'd have got along with him just fine. He was here on earth primarily to cut through the crap left by the Old Testament's ritual law and to set humanity on an easier road to a bright tomorrow. Oh, and after 2,000 years of petty human BS and intrigue, his job's harder than ever before. Because the most rabid of his followers have twisted his words and changed the meaning behind them in ways that he never intended. Like, I'm sure the implied arrogance of that capital P wasn't his idea. Oh, nothing he said smacked of that sort of ego. His message was a simple one. That people should love one another and to try to achieve perfection. And as soon as you're perfect, then you can judge others. Until then, keep working on yourself. It's as simple as that. Now, as a subgenius, I do have to admit I'm not comfortable at all with all this love, love, love business. I mean, we're a hate religion after all. that if Christ's alleged followers actually stuck to his code, there wouldn't be nearly as much out there for me to hate in the first place. Because Jesus had a basically beautiful, almost sub-genius philosophy. He believed in the separation of church and state with a crowbar if necessary. He fought the power of the ruling body, the Pharisees. He fought hypocrisy. He disliked praying in public. As he put it in Matthew 6:5-6, "Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by men." Oh, yeah, that right there is a bitch slap in the face of every arrogant, holier-than-thou, prayer-proud shyster on the TBN lineup, for starters. Oh, and I bet none of them would turn the other cheek. What would Jesus do? Well, for starters, I'd imagine he'd kick some serious ass on the guys selling all those damn T-shirts that say, "What would Jesus do?"
And a man who can preach to 5,000 men out in the open air without even a microphone, he got to have some lung power. A little squeaky woman can't talk to 5,000 men out in the open.
Shut up, Clarence. You can't afford me either.
And imagine some run of a teenage pipsqueak in the 20th century who wasn't even there saying the account should be corrected and then making a boner like that. It seems to me a strange thing, mystifying, that a man like you can waste his time on women of her kind. I can understand that she amuses. But to let her stroke you, kiss your hair, is hardly in your line. It's not that I object to her profession, but she doesn't fit in well with what you teach and say.
At this point, it's $50 to tell Jack off.
Oh, yeah. All Sunday.
Now, we realize the world doesn't like this, and they resent it. We realize that many of the educated people in America today resent very deeply and very bitterly us Christian people drawing judgment on everything that comes up by laying it alongside an absolute standard.
How did he know him by the name of Jesus? How did he know him so intimately? I don't know, but unless I miss my guess, Jesus and these Jesus Barabbas and these two fellas, Jesus the Christ, all grew up down there in South Palestine together. They were buddies. They went to the same high school together. And I can imagine old Barabbas saying, "You know, these here folks, or these here Yankees, they're trying to just ram things down our throats. We got to get rid of them." And Jesus says, "Yes, we got to love them." "Love them? What do you mean, love them?" "Yes," Jesus said, "you got to love your enemy." "Come on, Jesus, when are you going to wise up? Love doesn't count in this world. Nothing but hate." "No, Barabbas, love does count. Forgiveness counts. Kindness counts." "No, Jesus, you know you can't. You know, you gotta be practical. Now, in a world where nobody understands anything but force, you got to use force with people who can't understand anything but force."
"I don't need to understand."
"Having me here in person is like having the Pope of Rome, the Patriarch of Constantinople, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and Jim and Tammy Baker all at the same time." "The surest way to kill a church is to have a clergy. I mean, the minute you got a clergy, then folks can see how foolish you are, and how hypocritical you are, and how rich you are, and how political you are, and seeing how the clergy behaves, it's near impossible to hold that church together. And doctrine, oh, the minute you get doctrine, you get arguments. And arguments lead to feuds, and feuds lead to schisms, and schisms lead to crusades, and crusades lead to whole bunches of dead people till their religion gets plain worn out."
"That's your Christian bookstore. That's your Christian bookstore. That's your Christian bookstore. That's your Christian bookstore."
Jesus was a man among men. And I think more than that, he was a leader of a revolutionary movement. He was a rebel. Not a southern rebel, but he was a rebel. Leading and heading our great revolutionary movement. Now, the reason I think that is because he led a great mass demonstration movement on one occasion. We think Martin Luther King invented the mass demonstration method. No, it isn't original with Martin Luther King. Jesus put on a big one.
"I'm a rebel. I am. It
It doesn't matter what you say, 'cause I'll be headed in the other way. Bosh on all that churchy stuff. Come down here where things are tough. Down here life don't mean a thing. Join the crowd, come on and sing.
We are rebels, that's us men. We are rebels, yes we am. It doesn't matter what you say, 'cause we'll be headed in the other way.
Barabbas gets his movement going, gets a big following behind him. Jesus gets his movement going, gets a following behind him. The long arm of Rome reaches out and lays hold of both of these rebels.
Saw Santa Claus nailed to a cross. Him screaming, "You got the wrong guy! You got the wrong guy!" I was wigging out, man. I mean, Jesus Christ was a stand-up comic who was just too hip for the room. I mean, the cat could wail. And Pilate was a vindictive heckler. There was no crowd control, and Christ had to follow Barabbas. He stole all of his material. Jesus, what a thief! But the crowd dug him and they kept hollering, "Give us Barabbas! Give us Barabbas!" Oh, they were saying, "Give us Barabbas!" What a hack. Dig.
And now the Romans are getting ready to quickly carry out justice. They got the crosses all made. They're getting ready to string them up. About that time, here comes old Caiaphas, the high priest, with a fella, and says, hey, wait a minute, I got a fella that's subverting the nation. He's heading up a secessionist movement. He's a real rebel. And they bring Jesus before Pilate. Pilate tries him and is convinced that this man is not leading the kind of rebellion that is dangerous to Rome and wants to turn him loose. And they cry out, "If you turn him loose, you're no friend to Caesar." And so Pilate finally agrees to his crucifixion. They take him out. They release Jesus Barabbas, the president of the White Citizens Council, and Jesus the Christ takes his place. They didn't make these three crosses on the spur of the moment. They already had them there. Jesus just took the place of the leader of the White Citizens Council, or we might say the Ku Klux Klan.
"I am the way," he said. "I am the way.
And I will put out my hand, and those hardened will never take it up, for they cannot trust me."
"There must be a trick."
And over I will offer my hand to them, until they can no longer stand it."
"Jesus is our only king."
"Not anymore."
"Oh, Christ." The release of the imperial wizard of the Ku Klux Klan and hangs the leader of the God movement in his place on the cross. Perhaps this is as it should be, for this Jesus, the rebel, would not seek to escape from the awful guilt of a society that can produce a Ku Klux Klan.
"And there will be sturdy wood and sharp nails of hatred holding me ever secure, never able to reach out again. And I will offer the words that I found hiding in the smile of a little boy."
"They didn't understand Jesus, did they, Daddy? What he wanted to do?"
"Not at all, Bobby."
One of the criminals who had been impaled with him mocked him and said, "Aren't you the Führer? Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us, particularly us."
"I ain't knocking to him. Just give me a song that has a beat. I'm dead yet.
doors were frozen up, and I had to have a cigarette lighter to undo my car. Then all of a sudden, it's just like he said, ask those three gay guys that they had accents. And then when they got close to me, they were from London, England. It's kind of strange. And I said, well, can you open my door? And they did. And as they did that, Jesus said, tell them I love them. And I said, Jesus loves you and thank you. I got in my car and he says to me, they are so young, aren't they, and to be into all this. And as I come down, I almost hit a white Cadillac. And I couldn't believe the emotion and the power of him in that car. And he says, I'm going to sing you a song. You're the singer. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to them belong. They're weak, but we're strong. I like to never got through that song. And we were singing and crying all the way to my house. But, you know, when I come home, that wasn't the end of it. He said, I'm sending you to London, and I'm going to make you very great. And I'm going to turn the $1 bills that Michael gave me for gas money home into hundreds, and they're going to love you over there. And it was just the fact he kept fulfilling his prophecy. And he said, you know, I don't like their sins, but I love them. And he would just cry and weep so mournfully. He said, I'm coming back sooner than people think. And it just broke my heart. And so when I came home and then I opened up the Bible scripture, I mean, you know, everything lines up.
Seekers. Caught me reading an old National Lampoon with Son of God comics. Well, hey, you do your research your way, I'll do mine my way. Ah, as I was saying, yes, we revere pulling the wool over our own eyes in Bob's church here. But in the Christian church, most of the time, it seems that someone else is pulling that wool for you. Someone with their hands in your pockets. Someone with an agenda. In fact, the two greatest Christians of our time, Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson, are also our greatest Pharisees. And you know what Jesus thought about them. Oh, if you're by some incredible stretch of the imagination a regular listener who's trapped in one of those evil mind control churches, I appeal to you to embrace the slack side of the force. Question the motives of those who have power over you simply by virtue of the fact that you share the same faith. Those of you sub-geniuses out there, hey, take my advice and don't screw up as I have too many times when I hear an acquaintance is a Christian. Several times I've been chastened in the middle of vituperative anti-religion invective to find out that the good friend I'm blathering to turns out to be, well, pretty devout. This has happened several times. One was an ultra-swinging musician. Another was an insanely funny cartoonist and music archiver. Another's my longtime fraud man. And you know, seekers, in each case I didn't suspect it. I couldn't tell that they were Christians because they weren't oppressing me. They weren't judging me. They weren't telling me what a lousy sinner I am. They weren't trying to jam me into someone else's template. Yes, it's friends like this that have taught me that there are actually two kinds of Christians. those who turn the other cheek and those who wait for you to turn your back. My friends showed me by their example, and I was shocked. Why, this wasn't the Christianity that I've been fighting in my capacity as a subgenius priestess. Why, this was the actual face of a form of Christianity that works. I mean, it works for the amazing Dolores, and that woman is insane. And I'm crazy, too, and I can actually see peacefully coexisting with people like this. They have a philosophy that strengthens their lives, and at the same time, it doesn't cramp my style. Hey, and who'd have thought that was possible? So why the hell isn't this the dominant form in the Christian church? Because in the words of Jesus himself, the kingdom of God is within each of us. Yes, a highly unprofitable point of view for someone like Jim Baker or Jerry Falwell. So you don't hear much lip service on that from their pulpits. Yes, my slack Christian friends all have one thing in common. They don't belong to a church. And I'm damn glad they don't, because they choose to think for themselves. All of this thinking for yourself business is just the beginning of organized religion's problems with a real Jesus. The last thing they want their followers to do is suddenly get higher brain function and pick up a Bible and just read for themselves what Jesus really had to say without their insidious spin, without the tunnel vision and cherry-picked passages. Oh, but unfortunately for everyone, though, organized religion is doing a good job of making sure that the sheep keep complacently grazing. And the true Christians, more and more, seem to be in the minority. Oh, it's too bad that by nature, true Christians are non-confrontational, because they need to wrest their faith away from the grasping, greedy hands of the Christian power elite. It's way past time to establish the Judo-Christian ethic and fight to take Jesus back. The true fighting Jesus deserves no better tribute than to be believed in as he wished. Oh, I'm proud to have given the real Jesus a platform for his true doctrines tonight. Just as he taught about mixing with lowlifes and hookers and fringe people, I don't care about being seen with him tonight, despite his bad reputation. He sure didn't do anything to get himself into it, but his fan club's running his good name through the mud. For instance, I'm sure there are some first-time listeners who will never tune into this show again because of Jesus. And I'm likewise sure that there are other first-time listeners who will tune in again because of Jesus. And boy, will you be shocked and disappointed.
Oh, irreparable damage that shall be done to the cause of Jesus Christ and Christianity.
5 months later, laying on my bed, thinking about Susie and the things she said. About the Son of God who saved her soul. Playboy life.
Oh, you idiots never do learn, do you?
Ain't no fly zone.
Fly zone, Jesus.
Ain't no fly zone, yeah.
Oh, there ain't no fly zone, Jesus.
There ain't no fly zone.
Jesus,
here. Yeah.
Tonight we heard, in no particular order,
Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, Rexella and Jack Van Impe, Little Marcy, a whole lot of Daryl Rhodes, Orson Scott Card, Secular Humanist Revival, Robert Tilton, Garner Ted Armstrong, Isaac Airfreight, Some Beautiful Day, a rock musical about Jesus, Salvation, a rock musical about Jesus, Good News, a rock musical about Jesus, A New Life, a rock musical about Jesus. Whew. Oh, that's a vast, untapped genre. Oh, let me switch this music over here. Oh, yeah, a little of Brother Jimmy Swaggart seeing us out with old-time religion. Where was I here? Oh, yes, we heard from Brother Swaggart and the Jesus Sound Explosion, Larry Norman, Ed Kilborn, Tell Me About Jesus Film Strip LP, the end of that double album set of Armageddonist crap, and oh, what else? Jesus Christ Superstar by Arthur Fiedler, Percy Faith, Henry Mancini, and Bob Allen at the Christopher Inn in Toronto, and The Living Strings. Plus two castigating sermons all about Jesus Christ Superstar by Jack Van Impe and Dr. Peter Ruckman. And that crazy Jesus and the KKK thing was from Jesus the Rebel by some old cracker named Clarence Jordan. Oh, but, geez, Seekers, it looks like the microphone's shorting out. Everything's starting to smoke and get all weird and get those weird waves like on top of hot pavement. So I guess the radiation levels are beckoning me to shut down. So, on this cheery note, sleep tight and watch out for the wrong kind of Christian seekers. And rest assured, next time I'm on the prowl, it's still gonna be open season. Good night.